Welcome to Middle School Matters podcast number 702. Sean, doubling down on the math jokes. We got some jokes for you this week. We're going to talk about some AI stuff for your classroom and probably a strategy or two that you can take away and use right away. So without further ado, here's the wonderful, the magnanimous, the Mr. Troy Patterson.
All right, welcome back to the show. I am Troy Patterson, and with me is the world's greatest co-show host, Mr. Sean McGurr. Hey, Sean.
Well, hello there. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I was going to share a few facts and have a little couple of quizzy questions for you today. Did you know that I used to work in a shoe recycling center?
I did not know that.
Yeah, it was soul destroying.
I got you.
Shoe recycling.
Yep.
Soul destroying.
Yeah.
Just a thought for you. It's still way too early to know what mood I'm in today.
Is it? And you had coffee. I can vouch for that, by the way.
I'm on my second pot of coffee.
Only way to do the show.
Yeah. Well, you know. Another thought. How do I get back on kilter?
You know, I've never seen you wear a kilt, so I don't know.
Well, this is one that you would be especially good if you say to a kid, you know, you just look a little off kilter today. Then you can follow up with the, you have any idea how to get back on kilter?
I have no idea. How do you get back on kilter? By the way, I haven't checked for the white text yet. So wait, give me 1 second here. Okay. All right. We're good now. How do you get back on kilter?
I don't know. That's the question. They would not get this joke at all, by the way.
No. But kilter would throw them off, yeah.
But I like it, but I still like it. So this is your quiz. This is part of your quiz here. What do you call frozen peas that fall out of the freezer?
Frozen peas that fall out of the freezer? I don't know.
You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
You call them escape peas.
I got it. That one I like. Yep, that's a good one.
Yep. What does Nike's operational financials look like?
Well, I've not seen their most recent ones, but there was a time where they were really not too good. Why? What do you think?
It's a shoestring operation.
I got you. That's good. Yep.
Mm-hmm. A vegan said to me, people who sell meat are disgusting.
Okay.
I replied, people who sell fruits and vegetables, they're grocers.
I like it. Mm-hmm. Yep, that's good.
Another one that you probably have to explain.
Mm-hmm.
I know four guys that all play tubas. They have a band. They're called the Tuba Fours.
I got you. Yep.
That's one that I like a whole lot. Let's say you had a very, very, a sword that doesn't weigh very much. What would you call that?
A sword that does, probably a knife. I'm going to go with knife.
A lightsaber.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Here's one that is also for Dave. Okay. The human body is composed of sodium, carbon, hydrogen, and oxygen.
Okay.
Correct?
Yes.
Those, sodium is Na.
Uh-huh.
Carbon is C.
True.
Hydrogen is H.
Mm-hmm.
Oxygen is O.
Oh.
That's right. You are Nacho.
So what you're saying is I am what I eat.
I haven't had nachos in a while.
I got you.
Yeah. Who's the coolest doctor in the hospital?
My brother-in-law. Definitely my brother-in-law.
Brother-in-law.
Yeah.
Is he a hip consultant?
He is not, but that's a good one. I like that one.
You can tell that one to your brother-in-law.
I'm going
to
do that.
Did you know that Superman will not fight Dracula in the evening?
I did not know that.
He won't go near the crypt tonight.
I got it. I got you. Yep, that's good.
Mm-hmm. All right. Over on middleschoolmatters.com, we also have a visual joke for you. And Sean, I'm hoping that you appreciate this one.
Oh, by the way, yeah, I was just, so I'm going through my red cabinet, the one that used to store all the video equipment that I bought years ago. And mm-hmm. I realized that I've got two large plastic bins in there of nothing but unlabeled cables.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, we went through, we went through some of our storage stuff, and we went through, and we are recycling tons of things because lightning cables, we don't need lightning cables anymore, and we have a ton of them.
Really?
Oh, God, yes. So
there might be a market.
None of our devices are lightning anymore. So
I got a lot of kids that still use lightning cables for their phones.
I do on a personal level.
Yeah, there you go. Let's say there's a market in there somewhere, I think.
So, yeah. All right. Another thing that we appreciate is the Middle School Science Minute. And this week, Dave is right on top of it. He has, he's got a bit about stop cheating in an AI world. This is a good one, filled with integrity and how you can use integrity as well. So here, without further ado, is the wonderful Mr. Dave Bidlowski in the Middle School Science Minute.
Hi, this is Dave Bidlowski of K12Science.net, and this is your K-12 Science Podcast. I was recently reading the March-April 2026 issue of ScienceScope, a publication for middle school science teachers from the National Science Teaching Association. And I read the section from the editor's desk, written by Patty McGinnis, and she wrote an article entitled AI in the Classroom. And she said, you can ask anyone about the use of AI in the classroom, and you'll get a plethora of opinions. Whether you're an AI convert or not, it's imperative for us to become familiar with it in order to make well-informed decisions regarding its use. One can easily see how its utilization could be a time saver for teachers, as it can allow us to do our job more efficiently while benefiting students at the same time. One of the biggest advantages is the ability to customize learning for our students. AI can adjust the difficulty of lessons, offer up differentiated readings based on student ability, and can craft test questions and worksheets for classroom use. Modifications of this magnitude are difficult for teachers due to the labor intensity of creating personalized lessons. In fact, some experts feel that AI may lead to fewer teaching jobs in the future. It's important to note, however, that AI should be viewed as a tool to support teaching. The crucial work of supporting our students socially and emotionally cannot be replicated by AI. Quite simply, students need connection with their teachers and peers, something AI cannot provide. While the benefits of AI are substantial, its use is not without challenges. Due to the ubiquitousness, students are also using AI in ways to circumvent assignments, and in doing so, are losing out on opportunities to think critically. Like any new tool, students have to be educated about its ethical use. Discussions regarding academic integrity and emphasizing process over product can be helpful, as can redesigning assessments. For example, incorporating project-based learning, oral presentations, and reflections are strategies that are somewhat AI-proof due to their personalized nature. Interestingly, according to a study by Stanford, 60 to 70% of high school students admitted to cheating prior to AI arriving on the scene. While the rate of cheating hasn't increased, the methodology has. The research showed that it's the belief that cheating is a symptom of culture. The research suggests that one of the best ways to address cheating is to design relevant, authentic assessments grounded in real-world context, while simultaneously co-creating integrity norms with your students. Does this sound difficult? Well, ask AI to generate real-world challenges adapted for your specific grade level and topic. Your students may find that engaging in projects requiring collaboration, presentations, role-playing, exhibitions, videos, or podcasts may be both meaningful and enjoyable while lessening the urge to cheat. And this has been your K-12 Science Podcast.
Can I just say that I always get a chuckle when things are 4:04? So Dave's segment was 4 minutes and 4 seconds, and as soon as I saw that, I chuckled. It's a web thing, and and most people just kind of look at me when I say, "Oh yeah, it's a 404," because in web world that means it's an error. It means, you know, something did not work right. So I got a kick out of that. Instead of internet address cannot be found, it's just like, okay. All right, let's do some report from the front lines. And this week we're having a little discussion about filters, because we were both dealing with filter issues this week. I had an administrator ask me about filters, because that administrator got a question about filters from parents, which we get regularly, and I understand, I get it. But explaining about filters, and so I explained how we filter on multiple levels. Filtering is really difficult. Right? Mm-hmm. Because, number one, the web is a pretty expansive area and constantly changing. And a lot of times what one person thinks should be filtered, another person thinks should not be filtered. A lot of times it comes down to games, and games are always tough. Kids want to play games, especially middle school kids. They want to play games, and so. But on the other hand, there's a lot of games that are instructionally sound and good for learning, and teachers like to use games, and it can be a powerful way for kids to learn as well. So, like, which games do you filter? Which ones do you not filter? And one of the things that I said is, look, you know, if I take the, I can block these 50 games, and within 5 minutes there's going to be a 100 other games that come up, and I can block those 100 games, which is going to take time, right? And by the time I do that, there's going to be another 500 that come up. So it's a constant battle, and one of my points was, you know, really the best filter is the adult in the room.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Knowing what your kids are doing. And yes, I understand. I get it that it can be frustrating as the teacher in the room to say, no, you know, don't do that, and to monitor all of the kids and all that. I get that. But it is part of the kids growing and developing as well. So, get that. And then you mentioned that you use something, and the teachers did not apparently get a ton of training on it.
Right. They dropped a tool on us, a wonderful little tool called ClassWise, made by LineWise. And it has a lot of really cool features, a lot of which we don't know about because we never received any training. They just gave us the tool.
There you go.
And so a lot of teachers are complaining about things. And some of us said, well, you know, you could do that in ClassWise and it would fix the problem. And they're like, what? So we're going to do a little training in ClassWise next year. I did have some fun with it on Friday. It was a half day for Records Day. And it was a PBIS day. And I took the kids that didn't go. And the sub across the hall from me took half of the kids who didn't go.
Right.
So we, between us. And then I turned on ClassWise. And I turned on all my classes so I could watch all my kids and what they're doing. Because they're supposed to be doing a specific thing in iReady. And if they didn't go to iReady, I wanted to know what it was. Now, I didn't lock it down so they could only go to iReady. Because one of the things I want to do is I want to build up a nice, big, fat list of websites that I should be adding to my selected filter. So, for example, somebody has figured out that kids and teachers go to Kahoot all the time. So they made a Kahoot.cc, and it's just games. Just to get the kids to go to the games. That's all.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it looks like a Kahoot. And if you type in, you know, what is Kahoot.cc? Google Gemini comes back and says, oh, it's just a variant on the Kahoot web address. It's just, if you go there, you're going to go to Kahoot. And it's not true. It doesn't do that. It goes to games. You know, and the kids, they figured out that if you go and you hover over the thing and it says Kahoot.cc, well, then it's just, maybe it's a game that's part of the Kahoot game and you should let it slide. Like, for example, iReady. Every now and then, when the kids are successful in the iReady lesson, they get to play a little game as a reward. But if you don't go and check the web address and you just see the game, well, then you've just banned iReady and they can't do their iReady. And they're okay with that. You can go ahead and ban iReady. They're all good with that. Because they figure iReady's being sued anyway, which means that everybody's going to stop using iReady. And, of course, you know, that's how they think. So ClassWise has some wonderful tools, screenshot tool, like where you can catch kids on other kids' accounts and doing things because they know other kids' passwords. It's wonderful to watch, too, because sometimes you do get that chance to watch them use AI and they're using it in the right way. And you're like, okay, that's cool. I get respect for that. They can do that. Mm-hmm. And there's other times where they think they're getting away with stuff. And you walk across the hall to the sub, you can lock just their internet access, then walk across the hall to where the sub is and go, Abdul, what? You know what? Can you fix it or do I have to fix it? Oh, fix it. And the poor sub's going, holy cow, fix what? Nothing went wrong. There wasn't a problem in here. And then you go back and unlock their browser and see if they do the right thing, right? But you give them a chance to fix it or not fix it. And then you go back and you say, I locked your browser and you're going to clean this room before you leave. The sub is going, you're going to do this for the sub. Yes, Mr. Girl, I'll do it for the sub. All right, we're good. So that happened on Friday.
So a kid got in trouble who was not in your class at the time.
But yeah, he had a sub. It was during the PBIS event. So they're not supposed to be having fun. Right? They're supposed to be working. So he decided he's going to play Kahoot.cc, which I added to my blocker, and then he proceeded to find something else. So I just said, you know what? Didn't learn your lesson, so I'm just going to cut you off here. Click the button, and he didn't have internet. So when I walked into the room across the hall, he had his computer closed. His arms were across his chest folded, and he was looking very grouchy and grumpy. And he sees me, like, you know, and then I walked, stuck my head in and go, said the things that I said, you know, attitude changed immediately. It was fun to watch.
So did he get a notice that it was blocked by Mr. McGurr or?
Oh, it says your teacher has closed the window or your teacher has blocked this site. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say.
Yeah.
your teacher has turned off the internet.
It'll do that too. It'll say you've been disconnected from the internet, which is interesting because it has to be connected to the internet to get the message. So
it has to be connected to get the message that it's not connected.
There's irony in there somewhere.
Always fun.
But we've had some fun with it. You know, the screenshots are fun because the kids will say, you know, I didn't do it. What's this? Okay. I did it, but I had a good reason.
I did. Well, maybe I did that, but.
Yeah. So it's fun to watch a weasel. You know, trying to get out of it. And you're like, no. And you know what? I can print this in color and I can send it somewhere. I can mail it. No. Well, okay. So now let's talk about what you're going to do right the next time. Okay. You know, Ed Ford's responsible thinking process has been super helpful in addressing a lot of these issues, right? Because the more you tell kids, don't do this, the more they're going to want to do it. And I think Matt Miller makes that point on his webpage when he talks about using AI and implementing AI in the classroom. And so handle it this way and make them go through a responsible thinking process. What did you do? What's my expectation? You know, what are the consequences? What's going to happen the next time you do this? You know, give them a chance to fix it. And a lot of times they will. And sometimes they just can't stop themselves. And the more and more I hear people talking about things like this being an addiction, especially with middle schoolers, because that's their brains are looking for that dopamine fix anyway. The more and more I think in middle schoolers in particular that it is an addiction is probably the best way to think about it sometimes.
It is interesting because we know that kids' brains are at a certain developmental stage and we know that these things are created in a certain way. I certainly get that. I also wonder about whether that message is being extended to other other conclusions. For example, we can't have screens at all. We shouldn't have screens at all in school because it's addictive for kids. And that's not where I fall. But I think we do need to do a lot of education for staff and get them trained up in understanding this. And I think we need to do some education for communities as well, understanding how some of these things work and how they don't work. And again, as I said to administrator that, you know, the adult in the room is really crucial. And that was one of the things I think you ended up modeling is, you know, hey, okay. And that maybe there are certain kids, it's like, all right, look, you're not ready for this yet. And the responsible thinking process, I think, is something that is super powerful in getting kids to take on those processes because we know that their metacognition is hugely important in middle school and that is something that would be helpful for us to help kids with and do. So, yeah. All right. And then you've been working on AI in the classroom. I've been working on AI at the school level, and our next step would be the classroom. We've done a couple of model classroom rules, because I think that's helpful for kids. I think it's helpful for teachers to understand not everybody's rules need to be exactly the same, but they need to be within the framework, just like your regular classroom rules are, right? Not every teacher's classroom rules are exactly the same, but they all fit into the framework of what the school expectations are. So, so I know you've been working on that, and that I saw something the other day that was people who are against AI are too against it, and people who are for AI are too for it. And I thought that was an interesting conversation. I thought that was interesting that, you know, as an individual, but it was, I think it speaks to the, there's a lot of people out there who are like, AI is going to solve everything and it's going to fix everything. And then there's people out there that are, AI is going to destroy the world. And I think that the we're going to end up somewhere in the middle, right? There's some good use for AI. So, and working that through that. And then I will share that I also shared with you a AI icon link that I did, because I stole it from someone else, but they had done parts of it and they didn't specifically license it as Creative Commons.
Okay.
And I said, well, I like the idea of AI icons that tell kids what they can and can't do. So so I created some and made them Creative Commons. And we'll link to that in the show notes as well. All right. It is almost the end of the year, which is pretty phenomenal to think about at this point.
Wonderful. These things.
Sure. I mean, I know. And for me, this is going to be kind of a different end of the year, because this will be the kind of the last end of the year for me. You know?
Yeah. I'm assuming that's a yay, right? Or is it a... It doesn't have to be, though, right? Because there are other things you could... And this is actually technically your second career.
It's the second time I've retired.
Yeah,
you've done this. And I do plan on... And the plan at this point is to sub.
Yeah, so...
Next year.
So. And that's a whole other type of job in and of itself. Yeah.
Yep. I have to get together a sub portfolio-y kind of thing. You know, those activities that you have in your back pocket, so that it's like, hey guys, we're going to do this. If they need a little more, structure, let's say.
Oh, yeah.
But you've got like a week and a half or something left?
7 days. I have 7 days with kids. Is that too precise? Did I know that too quickly? I got 7 days. I'm okay seeing this group go. I don't hate them. And I'm not like, whoa, 7 days and they're gone. I'm not like that at all. But I'm also not like, it's 7 days and they're gone. No, it's not that at all. This group, totally good with them moving on. I think they should go to the next group of teachers. I think those next group of teachers really deserve it and deserve these kids.
It's a good match.
Oh, yes. Yes. Yes, indeed. I think all the fun they've been having with the great kids that I had last year, you know, like rubbing in my nose. I think it's time for them to have this group. You know, a reality check would be good.
Okay. I always like that. Let's see here. Sometimes it's hard to type and talk at the same time.
He came up with the title is what he did. I think he came up with the title.
Yeah, I do. I keep track of titles, potential titles as we're going along. So we've got a little bit longer. June 18th is our last day.
Oh, next year we're June 17th. So we will join your former district here pretty soon if the extended.
But go ahead. Sorry.
A lot of districts in my area, they're out this week. They were out on Friday. Our calendar is scheduled around Eid. So we have two extra holidays we have to fit in. One holiday, two times. Let's put it that way. And so because we just had Eid al-Fitr, we had 3 days off. And then we had Eid for – or 3 days off for Eid Mubarak. Which adds in, you know, six extra days in our calendar. So we go longer than everybody else, than most people do in Wayne County.
That's interesting because there are several schools in Wayne County that would be in the same situation.
Oh, yeah. Dearborn is and several others are. But we are by no means the only one. Right. But there, those other districts don't have a significant population that celebrates Eid, so they don't have to include it in their calendar.
Yeah. Now, did you guys start after Labor Day or before Labor Day?
So teachers started before Labor Day.
Okay.
I'm trying to remember. I think kids started. We did start before Labor Day this year. Okay. Yes, we did. Because they changed the rule. If you apply for an exemption, you don't have to follow the law that says that schools have to start after Labor Day in order to support the state's number two industry, which is tourism.
Tourism, right. Okay. And then my last day is June 30th. So, unless I'm not feeling well.
Yeah, I was going to say, I might use some days.
So
we have teachers that are using days, and rightfully so. They've earned it. Yeah.
Once the kids are gone, and I mean, there's still tons of things that I'm trying to get done before I go, so we'll see. All right. Dublin City. I've been to Dublin.
At least twice, right? The next time you'll be there four times? And the time after that you'll be there eight times? Yeah. Okay. Yep, there we go. That's what I look for.
Yep. There we go.
This is why he does the joke section.
Sean with the math jokes.
So I did see a very cool podcast with a guy who taught everybody how to count cards, and it's like, oh, this makes actual sense. So well, you know, that's Troy's next career. Is I'll share the video with him and he can go hit the local casino, make millions of dollars while he goes to Dublin City University at Dublin City uni.bsky.social. I thought this was interesting. Ever close your laptop after an exhausting day and thought, what did I actually achieve? You might be experiencing rust out. I thought that's an interesting term. So Image Magazine in Ireland had an article exploring the phenomenon of that's wearing down high achievers. And it's this feeling that, you know, what did I get done? It's this rust out feeling. So interesting thing to explore. Teachers, I'm sure right now, are experiencing rust out, especially this next week for us because it's our last week and everything's coming due. Grades are due. We're having honors assemblies. We're having promotion ceremonies. We're having a club. My club is my youth and government club is going to have their end of year party on Thursday. We're going to do hot dogs. Going to break out the concession stand. Just stocked it with the mini cans of pop are more popular than the full cans of pop. Did you know that?
It's a phenomenon. That is interesting.
Wow. Yeah, if you give them a choice between full can of pop and a mini can, they'll choose the mini can almost every time.
That is Wow, that is really surprising because that's not the way Americans tend to operate.
it runs counterintuitive too. Yeah. So anyway, I thought it was interesting.
Give me more. Now, are they the same price?
No. But even so, just okay. So this is probably also not doing the math part. But if you buy the bigger can, it's actually more than buying two of the smaller cans.
Oh.
So if you buy two small cans, spending $2, or you buy one large can, spending $2, you actually end up with more in the bigger can, according to the things that we're selling. But our kids are middle schoolers, and...
That would be a true statement.
are sometimes mathematically challenged.
Okay.
Yeah, they're learning. Mm-hmm. Still learning. Yep. All right. New Yorker at newyorker.com. Yes. Okay, so this was apparently part of a post. I forgot the original post. Okay, so I'll have to go back and find it. This was embedded inside, and I believe that New Yorker also has a B-Sky link to it as well. People are pining for old technologies like CD players, VCRs, Walkmans. What's behind our longing for inconvenience? And so the article goes on to talk about how, those annoying ads. I was talking about this with somebody the other day, that the ads in YouTube videos are like toddlers. There's no logical sense where the ads come in, and they're there, and you can't get rid of them, right? And they just scream at you until you do something to make them go away. You throw them a toy, or you do whatever they want you to do. And it's annoying as all get out, and there's no structure to it, right? There's no, like right in the middle of something, they cut to an ad. It's like, well, no, wait a minute. The guy was making a point. That was rude. So the article talks about how, CD players, no ads. VCRs, no ads. Walkmans, no ads. And I saw a bunch of people on social media the other day going, where can I get CD? Can you still buy CDs and burn CDs? I thought
to myself, can you spell?
I haven't seen that in ages. So, yeah, there you go.
So I found this interesting because with the subtext of what's behind our longing for inconvenience.
Right.
And it's like, for me, that I don't think that's inconvenient because I still listen to my iPod, right? And for me, that's much more convenient because I don't have to go like, okay, which app do I have to use for this? What do I have to do? Right. It's just like, that's what you do on this device. You push play. Mm-hmm. Plug in the headphone and you're there. So it's not inconvenient. And I've never looked at it as inconvenience. I've looked at it as single purpose, right? I have the single purpose device. So that part I thought was interesting because I don't see it as inconvenience.
I think the inconvenience in the article is talking about people having to wait for their video or their song to buffer. And while they're waiting for it to buffer, there's an ad slipped in.
Okay.
And with a CD player or VCR, Walkman, pop it in and go.
But that would be, to me, that's longing. That's not longing for inconvenience. The inconvenient part. Okay. I'm going to beat this one until it's paper thin, and I don't want to do that. So I'm just going to say,
okay.
I don't see the old technologies as inconvenient. So,
right, and I think they're saying the same thing. They don't see it as inconvenient either. The inconvenience is the buffering and the waiting and the interrupting of modern technology. So. But I see your point. I see what you're saying. Yes. It's for kids today who haven't played with. So I had remember the old iPod super minis. There were the clip-on, right? There was no screen or anything. It was just the buttons. You just clip it on and you just go, right?
Little, almost square.
Yep, it was square.
Rectangular, but it was almost square. So.
Yeah. So I had way back in the day, I'd gotten a bunch of these, and I got some little mini SD cards. And I'd put a bunch of stuff on there for the Washington, D.C. trip. And I was going to give it to the kids, and then they could listen to. And then by the time I got that all worked out and things set up where I could do a workflow, to just push stuff to SD cards and then get them in there. Mm-hmm. Nobody was using headphones that had wires, and nobody was using the mini, micro, whatever version of USB cable to charge these things. And if I gave them to the kids, they'd be like, great, this is a one-time use thing, because I don't have the materials to charge it or listen to it anymore. And right. The other seventh grade teacher walked in my room, and I had one out the other day, and I was like, I wonder if this thing still works. And he lifted it up and goes, oh, I've heard about these. These are iPods. I said, no, I said, it's not an iPod. I said, but it's close. He goes, no, this is an iPod. I said, no, I promise you, I bought them. It's not an iPod. This is an iPod. Fine. It's an iPod. Fine. Okay.
So, just to go on with it, remember the iPod that looked like a stick of gum?
Yes.
Okay. Those you can no longer sync information to them.
Oh, did not know that.
Unless you have a computer that's on a older OS. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, the one thing that I haven't tried yet, and now I'm thinking maybe I will, is I wonder if there's a way to use it with Linux that I could do that. Anyway, but because those were neat because they would only shuffle. I mean, they played either in straight order or shuffle because there's no screen on it and that. But again, Apple has pulled support for some of those older devices. So you got to do, you can't use iTunes to sync music to it. So it's interesting. Because I still have an iPod Classic, which does have a screen. Mm-hmm. That I use quite frequently, and I have an AirFly, which makes it wireless.
Oh, okay, all right.
I plug that into that the headphone port, and then it does the broadcasting, and then I can listen on my AirPod Pros or whatever. So, yeah,
I've got one with the old hard drive in it, and if you plug it into the old USB port in your now 11-year-old truck, you've got lots and lots of music on that little iPod to just listen to all the time. The old iPods are great.
I use it in my car as well.
Yep.
So,
speaking of another resource, the wonderful thing that's great, Eric Kurtz has updated his list of EduGems. There's one for a sorting activity, so you can create classroom-ready sorting activities or knowledge-building critical thinking and application for any grade and topic. There's another one. It's a Forms, Google Forms header. You can generate a custom image for a Google Form header based on the form purpose and your preferred style. There's a Google Gem for CRA, math activity, design concrete, representational, abstract, math activities aligned to grade level and learning targets. And then you also have a single point success criteria gem. It creates a single anchor of success paired with tailored scaffolds and extensions for any grade level and content area. So those are new gems, among others. There's a bunch of others you mentioned also on the podcast this week or on the video cast this week or the Google or the video YouTube live stream. I'll get it right eventually. it was interesting to watch this week because he had a bunch of stuff from Google I/O that I think is going to, he thinks is going to influence education. So it'll be fun to see what happens with those things as they, if they happen or they don't happen. Because he mentioned also, and I think this is a good thing to remember, is a lot of things that get mentioned at Google I.O. never happen. They're dreams. They're things that, hey, we're looking at this. We stopped looking at this. You know, same thing. DCU Library, Dublin City University Library. Did you know it is World Dracula Day today?
I did not.
World Dracula Day. I did not either. I, you know what? Did not go and get my garlic like I should have. It says, why not take a break and sink your teeth into this excellent article? There's a link in the show notes. It's from the Policeman's Helmet Soup Journal. It's a new undergraduate open access journal developed in collaboration with the School of English over at Dublin City University. And there's a link in the show notes. You can pop over there. It's free. And you can celebrate World Dracula Day. Not that I have any experience with knowing if that's a Dracula accent or not. And I'm not willing to find out. So if you do, and you have, please, please feel free not to share that. My information with any vampires you might know. So, new resource for you.
Okay. Speaking of resources, I think we, there's a new NCSS position paper on middle level education that you want to share with people.
Yeah, that came out this week. The National Council for the Social Studies presented a position paper on middle level education. Something that we've been seeing in my district. Apparently it's not exclusive to my district, and it looks like it's pervasive throughout the country. My district, when we started with the whole, you have to pass English and you have to pass math. Those right. are the two things your district's going to be evaluated on. Everything else is secondary to those two things. Well, our elementary schools made those secondary things third and fourth and dairy. They just got rid of them. And so everything was either math or it was English. Those are the only two things. And as a result, a lot of our kids coming into the middle school, the sixth grade was the first time they had had any social studies at all.
Wow.
And apparently this is happening throughout the country, because one of the things they mentioned is that a lot of elementaries have cut the social studies out of the curriculum entirely, even though the state, like state of Michigan, says, you know, you have the social studies has, this social studies has to be taught at this level, this has to be taught at this level, and right. it has a whole plan laid out. But obviously it's not, you know, there are districts out there that are saying, yeah, that's going to take a back seat, like way back seat to these other two things. So NCSS created a position paper on mid-level ed saying, no, we need to have social studies in the elementary in order to support our grades 5 through 8 in social studies, because kids are coming in and they're not having anything, and this is the first time they're getting anything. And middle school social studies teachers are having to go back and reteach all these things, or not reteach, to teach for the first time, and they're never getting to the things that the state is saying you have to have, you'd be at this point in the middle school. So it's interesting that they came out with a position paper on that. So if you're one of those districts and you're looking for ways to say, look, you guys need to be doing at least some social studies, so when they're coming into our building, they have something. This is a good paper to throw into the front of like your curriculum, or put in a proposal, or put in a plan, right? And one of the things I think one of the things that I liked about this is they said this should be an interdisciplinary approach, and it shows or allows students to see the relationships between past events, current issues, and their own lives, building the foundation for an informed and active citizenship. I love the fact that it mentions and specifically talks about interdisciplinary approach.
Mm-hmm.
And
I really think, from as a former social studies teacher as well, I think that one of the things that social studies really helps you do is to learn to think critically, to have background, to have context, to provide some context. It gives you the tools to look at things and say, hey, wait a minute, or yes, that will work, kind of thing. And I think that is something that we desperately need, is a lot of critical thinking skills and understanding how things truly work, and understanding research and what research does. Understanding the past is just phenomenally important. So, yeah. Interdisciplinary stuff is good and can be a lot of work to do and do well, but it pays off. So,
you know, one of the things that I think could really help with teachers building interdisciplinary lessons, with particularly in teams and between disciplines, that would be interdisciplinary. Yes, got it. I think AI is going to help a lot with that, because it's going to help you see the different fingers and connections between the content that you're teaching and the content that others are teaching on your specific team. So I think AI is going to be a really good help with that going forward.
Okay. Well, if you're going to understand AI, you might want to take a course on that. And right now, Google has a generative AI for educators with Gemini course that is free. It's self-paced with a lot of, it's the same platform that they use for their Google trainers, being a certified Google teacher and stuff. So if you're looking to learn more, this is a potentially good resource for you. Have you done this one, Sean, or no, not yet?
I did the one through ISTE. My AI certificate, my AI certificate is through ISTEU, which I was informed the course no longer exists. It's been reformatted, revamped, and now there's a new course that used to be that course, because that course is outdated. So
I was going to say,
but I got my certificate.
Yep. These things do change. There's just a lot of changes, a lot of movement. This is an interesting time to be involved in that. And figuring out what it is, how it is, what it does, what it doesn't do. Mm-hmm. But at least getting some of the basics down can be very valuable and important. And this, again, is a free resource for you. So you can check that out. There's a link in the show notes over at middleschoolmatters.com. All right. Randy Weingarten, you're familiar with Randy?
I am AFT, so yes. Yeah. Belvedere's AFT.
Yes. And Randy is the president of the American Federation of Teachers. And she came out with an interesting position recently, calling on less technology in schools. Her speech was titled "Devices Down, Eyes Up, Hands On." So this is in one of the interesting switches, because AFT has been involved in some other things as well. But she's calling for blocking most students from using computers in class until they reach third grade, which I find interesting. Mm-hmm. Prohibiting student-facing AI in elementary schools and banning social companion chat box until age 16. She's declaring that students are drowning in tech. And she says students need teachers, not real human beings, not robots, not chatbots. I get this, but this is also something that I think we should have been doing, should still be doing, as far as I think we're mixing quality and quantity in a way that we should be better at delineating. Obviously, I think anyone who's listened to the show for any period of time knows that I'm not a kid should be on computers all the time, all day, because I really don't think that they should. But I think if it's used wisely and targeted and throughout school, then I think it can be very beneficial for kids. And that's the thing. I think right now we're at a time where we don't know what especially AI, because AI is all we're really talking about at this point. We don't know what AI is or is going to do or is going to be in the future. We have a lot of guesses, but we don't know for sure. We don't quite understand that yet. So there's a lot of reaction and interaction to that. So what she does say is, I'm not calling for an AI ban or a Chromebook bonfire. What I'm calling for is getting the balance right to harness the benefits of technology while mitigating the harms. And I think that is, sure, that's that's what we're all looking for. We don't want to harm kids, but we don't want to take away valuable opportunities for them as well. It also notes that other countries are curbing screen time. Sweden, the government's pushing to shift back to printed textbooks and pen and paper classwork. In Madrid, nearly 500,000 students face strict limits on using computers or tablets for coursework. And China requires schools to provide, quote, screen-free time. Again, I think every kid should have screen-free time as well. And that should be baked into the school day. That shouldn't be where your kids are using technology all day, every day. But it's got to be thoughtful. Interesting, the AFT is also partnered with OpenAI and Anthropic to train teachers on AI. At the end of the day, she says, this can't simply be a call for what should stop. This needs to be a call for what we should be doing instead. And I'm like, well, I think, again, we should talk about the why. Why are we using it? How are we using it? How much? All of that good stuff. So, interesting article. You can head on over there and check that out. Paul Thomas also has an article called Talking About My Generation. You may get the reference there, Sean. Do you get that reference?
I do.
Okay, good. Yes. That's a rock and roll reference, so I wasn't sure.
It's on Muzak. I hear it on Muzak all the time.
And this is subtitled on the New Learning Recession. This is an interesting article about our learning recession, how we're all going to heck in a handbasket, and the future is bleak. And this is something that I'm an old fart. As we said, I'm retiring again from education.
And he's older than me. He's older than me, too.
I am older than Sean, yes. We can establish that. By the way, Paul Thomas is older than me because he was born in 1961.
Okay.
Yep. He says that. So he's a young boomer, but a boomer nonetheless. He goes through the whole idea of, you know, we've been, our scores have been horrible. We've been going to heck in a handbasket since the 80s. And the reading proficiency and understanding reading proficiency. One of the things that I really don't think people get, by the way, is that reading proficiency and grade level reading is all normed. So I don't think that people understand that we will never have everybody at grade level because it's normed. We have to have people mm-hmm. below grade level. Mm-hmm. That's just the way math works. So it's an interesting article, and it is a pretty quick read, so you can check that out as well. There is Andrew Marcinek has an interesting article on the five pillars about tech and how some people say when tech enters, education learning goes down. And he has the intentional technology and screen framework, a five-pillar recalibration tool for K-12 leaders. And I think it's worth reading and thinking about and processing. I think that this is good stuff. Process before platform. The device follows the learning goal, not the other way around. Amen. Active over passive, audit, plan, and report. Teacher first, technology second, and communicate the why to families. All good stuff. So you can check that out as well. And speaking of technology, I think that you have some AI ideas as well.
So we were talking before the show, and Trey mm-hmm. got me thinking, and actually I made him not start the show on time because he put this idea in my head. Excuse me. Matt Miller, we were talking about Matt Miller and Ditch That Textbook, and he has a new book out, AI Literacy. And I'm going through that book right now, and I'm working that book and a couple other things into a department policy page for teachers to just grab some things and put it into their classroom syllabus policies and then parent stuff so that they can communicate like how we're going to use or how we might use AI in our classroom. Just suggestions. It's very rough. I don't have it anywhere near tuned where I want it to be, but mm-hmm. I like a lot of Matt Miller's ideas in his AI literacy book. So I popped over to his website, and he's got 20 things about AI that teachers really need to consider. And number 13 is, you know, what do we do about the whole cheating thing? And I thought, well, okay, so Matt, let's take your idea, and I'm going to run over here to an AI, and I'm going to say, give me three ideas. Like tomorrow, a teacher comes to me and says, how do I stop cheating? Give me three ideas. I can say, here's three things you might want to try to help stop cheating in your classroom. And AI came back, and I posted the AI response for everybody in the show notes. And there are three things. It says, number one, add a process receipt to every assignment. And I was like, oh, that's a pretty good idea. So on a half sheet of paper, students have to answer, what was the most important thing you learned? What part was the hardest? Show one place where your thinking changed. What is one decision you made that AI could not make for you or do for you? And if you started over, what would you do differently? These are all things that AI can't answer for you. You have to answer that yourself, right? The second idea was use a 90-second Defend Your Thinking conference. And I've done this with presentations that my students have done. And when they get up to do it, everybody in the room knows that they used AI. And the seventh graders had no problem calling them out on it, which I got a kick out of inside. But, you know, externally, I'm like, oh, they got it. So use a 90-second Defend Your Thinking conference. Ask the kids, you know, or teacher says, show me the part of your work you're most confident about. And then ask, why did you choose that? What evidence supports it? What's one thing that you changed or you improved? And what would you still fix if you had more time? And probably that part of the whole project, defending your thinking part, is probably what they would fix. But a student can turn an AI-generated answer or turn it in, but actually processing it and explaining it is a whole nother thing. It takes it to that thinking level that they have to do. So there's that. And then the third one I came up with, and I only asked for three, so I imagine there's more. Build the assessment in three visible steps: think, draft, reflect, right? So students write their first ideas about without AI, like three bullet points, a claim and two pieces of evidence, the old social studies claim, evidence, reasoning. Do a quick sketch, a rough outline, a vocabulary prediction, a what I already know is, so like a variation on the KWL, right? Draft it, reflect before turning it in. And then along the way somewhere, adding in an AI piece to ask them to like brainstorm with them, but not just give them answers, right? And then do a short writing assignment. So as an example, for 5 minutes, you write your claim about something and two pieces of evidence. 15 minutes, you're going to write the paragraph, probably with an AI assist. And then the last 5 minutes, you're going to line one sentence you improved and explain why. And that turns the assignment into a submit a paragraph, but it's not just submit a paragraph. It's now show me your paragraph and how it was built. So, all right, I threw that in just as a way to say, we talk about a lot of things about AI and concerns, but how are we going to solve it? What are we going to do? Is there anything we can do about it? And so there's three things in there. It's a lot of text at the bottom of the page I did not talk about. More than welcome to go take a look at it. And then tell us if you try it or if you have your own ideas for doing that, you should probably give us an email over at middleschooleducators@gmail.com.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Shoot us an email. We would love to hear from you. As you know, we have show notes on everything we talked about and some extra things as well. And this week we even have some extra jokes that I didn't talk about or share. But head over to middleschoolmatters.com, pick up all of those and the links. Of course, we'd love it if you'd go to the favorite podcast catcher of your choice. Give us a 5-star rating. Tell us why Sean is the world's greatest co-show host. Talk to a friend. Talk to a neighbor. Say, hey, you're heading out for summer. You know what you can do? You can listen to Middle School Matters and catch up on some of the past shows as well. I think we have a couple more shows coming up for you before we have another break. And then we'll keep doing this. With that, this has been Middle School Matters for Middle School Educators Who Care. All opinions expressed on this podcast are exclusively the opinions of the host and guest and not indicative of any employer.